Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America. Streaming live on PGATour.com.
Okay, I'm just going to fade it out. Everybody's heard that 1,000 times. We're going to change that, everybody. Frank Bassett joining you. I'm in the Nashville studios today. But I have a couple of good buds on the line. Of course, you know Tim Matthews, who is in the car somewhere in East Texas heading to a golf out, boys golf outing. Tim, you there?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm actually still in Dallas, but I'm heading east. So
okay,
I'll stay with you as long as the crickets allow me to here and on my connection. But I think I should be good.
There you go. And the man himself, the man who we think carries the Hank Haney Golf Show on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. And if Hank listens to this, I'm sorry, but Steve Johnson's with us. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Thank you.
Sorry,
you should probably just say that used to be on Hank Haney.
Starting today.
What is it that they call you, Steve? They call you the great prognosticator.
The predictor. The great predictor.
So what? Let's get on to it. What do you predict? Forget the Shriners right now. Let's talk about Vegas in 3 weeks. What do you predict? What's going to happen with Tiger and Phil?
Well, oh man, you know, I'm hoping that it's a great match, and great matches are born out of great play. They're not born out of great vignettes and great stories and stuff like that. They're born out of great play. All we have to do is look at the Hogan Snead match. They were 53 years old at the time. Ben Hogan hit 18 fairways, 18 greens, hit all the par fives and two. Putted, he was a spastic on the putting green, but he still shot under par. And everyone after that match talked about what a great match that was. And as a teacher, I watched that match because it shows a lot of Ben Hogan's swings from a lot of different angles, a lot of different shots. And it's very educational. And, I mean, it's an iconic match. Now, I think, ideally, that's what the Woods-Mickelson match can be. But not if they're ping-ponging the ball back and forth across the fairways.
And the side bets. It's going to be pretty wild. We found out that we'll be out there, so that's going to be pretty exciting to watch that match. Tim, I don't know, buddy. What do you think? What's your call?
I don't like the fact that they're not going to let fans out there, because I think for sure you need that environment. It's going to be, I don't know how they're filling time, because golf, we all know, is mostly dead time with very little action, hitting a ball and doing whatever. So how you fill all that when you don't have any crowds or somebody with a mic going up and talking to some, all we have is some high rollers, I guess. So I don't know that part. I don't know about the atmosphere as far as the TV event goes. Now, as far as the golf goes, I think Phil hasn't shown much of anything in recent months. So I think if you're going to pick a winner, I'd go with Tiger and say, you know, for the $9 million, and God knows he needs it. I think Tiger's the guy that's probably going to win it. But yeah, the side bets, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Frank, are going. Are they not doing like charity bets or something?
Yes.
Or the winner, the money goes to charity.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's winner take all the $9 million, which is cool. But there will also be some, you know, charities that are benefiting from whatever side bets. And I guess, Steve, that would be a side bet would be on a par three close to the pin. They'll play for $10,000 or $20,000 or something like that. Is that probably what they're going to be doing?
Yeah, probably more than that, though, I would imagine. If the big prize is $9 million, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 is peanuts.
Well, originally, Steve, they said it was going to be $10 million. Here's my, you know, I'm the conspiracy theory guy. They said let's roll it back to $9 million winner take all, but let's take another million that we were going to put into that and give a half a million each to you guys to do side bets.
Well, that's the thing. Well, here's the deal, though. I mean, I read an article on, you know, the FedEx is a big sponsor of the PGA Tour. They didn't want to be upstaged. The FedEx Cup prize, bonus prize at the end of the year is $10 million. And they didn't want to be upstaged by a mano-a-mano match, $10 million match. So they rolled it back to $9 million. Now, in response, next year FedEx is going to $15 million.
Wow.
Boom. Right. Boom. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Well, and once again, Tiger just puts more money in golfers' pockets. in a sometimes direct, sometimes indirect way. But Tiger creates the money. Let's be honest about it. Well, so yeah, suddenly FedEx is saying, okay, there's 15. Well, the 15, if you guys all remember, there's a breakdown. Even if you don't get the full FedEx Cup and you don't win it, there's a million here and 3 million to the guy who finishes fifth, and there's a lot of trickle down money too. But that's going
to
help.
Well, let's go to this FedEx for one. They sponsor a lot of other things besides just that. I mean, let's look at the St. Jude Classic, former, you know, FedEx St. Jude Classic, which will now be the World Golf Championships tournament in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a lot of money. So FedEx puts a lot of money into the PGA Tour, which in turn puts a lot of money into players' hands and charity. So
Let me put a dollar sign on this, guys. The big story right now in Europe is this race to Dubai. There's a pool of five guys or 10 guys that are vying for this, the $5 million purse, but it's $1.2 million to the winner, $5 million to the top 10. In the FedEx, if you come in the top 10 in the FedEx at the end of the year, the FedEx, bonus pool, they dole out $20 million.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's big dollars that FedEx, like you say, Frank, is putting up.
Yeah.
And, And when you talk about Tiger Woods, Tim, about, you know, helping everybody that's a player that making more money, don't look now, but he's helping us too. Because anytime Tiger's in the news, it's national news, regardless of what it is. Fortunately, it's been about playing golf here recently. But anytime Tiger Woods is a story, it helps every one of us.
Yeah. Well, he's the one who's always, since he's actually was an amateur, has been an icon that people have looked to, and you've seen him fade a little bit and come back, and it's been a great comeback. And that's America in general, is it not? Don't we love building guys up and superstars and teams or whatever? We like to see him fall a little bit and come back, then they go back up. This is almost like a classic story. In 100 years, they'll be talking about Tiger in all these senses because he deserves it, but also just in the complete American way of the way we idolize athletes, actors, celebrities, whatever, but also their downfall. They almost all have that same path that we've seen Tiger take. So yeah, it's kind of been a fascinating journey, and it's exciting that it's back on track again, you know, and we could see this, because let's be honest, if Tiger health-wise, say all the other stuff aside, but his back just didn't hold up, would anybody, Phil and anybody else, generate somebody to say, FedEx, somebody else say, let's put up $9 million and do a winner-take-all pay-per-view? No, I don't think so. Now, down the road, will there be other ones? It'd be interesting to see, you know, DJ against Spieth or Rory against Patrick Reed or whatever it might be. I think it's kind of neat. I'm not a big gambler, and I don't get into a lot of stuff. I don't pay per view for McGregor fights and all that. But this is something different and unique, and I'm intrigued how they're going to pull it off. I don't know, like I said, without any crowd there or anything else, that it's going to be great TV. But we'll see what kind of drama. I mean, if Phil loses the first five or six holes, the drama could be, the comedic relief that we're going to get of Phil deciding he's going to get out his checkbook and make it all back with a bet who can hit the fairway or longest drive or whatever. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I think it's just the first of a lot of those kind of events that we're going
to
have.
Well, guys, let's go to this. There's a lot of chatter all over the media about, I'm not going to pay $19.95 for that. I'm not going to pay. I don't think it's worth it. Steve?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's worth
$19.
Yeah.
$19.95, that's, that's a no-brainer.
I know, but what are these people saying? Every time I turn on ESPN or Golf Channel or some other place, you still see people being interviewed saying, yeah, I just don't think it's that big a deal, Phil and Tiger. My personal opinion is it's a huge deal. It is a once-in-a-lifetime type tournament. It's a lot like the old Shell Wonderful World of Golf and the matches that they used to put on TV as a child when I was growing up that I thoroughly enjoyed. But I think this is just a once-in-a-lifetime deal, and that's why I'm so stoked that we're going to be in Vegas for it.
Well, and Phil, I mean, Frank, we actually, I think, put that number down back when this got announced. You and I were saying, well, what are they going to pay? We thought about boxing, $99 or $79 or 119. That's the number that all those big matches seem to have. And we're like, well, that can't be. I think we said it's going to be $19, maybe $29 a person. So I think we were pretty accurate in thinking that's about what people, I think, will pay to watch this. They're not going to pay an awful lot to watch it. But I think $19 is enough to intrigue people because, again, if you bring in a couple of friends, heck, if you split, it's $5 a piece.
Well, yeah. Well,
not a big deal.
But
right?
But still, hey, Steve and Tim, think of this. And this just popped into my head. I don't know what commercial, you know, it'll be on DirecTV and SB Nation, some things like that. But DirecTV, let's say, our sponsor, our beloved sponsor, Club Corp. What about all of the 200 plus Club Corp country clubs having a special event with dinner?
You know, 19th holes stuff.
19th holes, and you can have side bets there. I mean, my gosh, well, that would be just a home run. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I agree. Now, you know, TNT is going to they're going to roll out their superstars. They're going to have Ernie Johnson and Charles Barkley. HBO's doing a 24/7 type of, you know, broadcast for both Tiger and, you know, like behind the scenes leading up to this match and how they're preparing and all that stuff. I think that'll be interesting. And Tim, you talk about filling in the blanks. There will be a lot of blanks to fill in, and I'm sure that they're going to keep it filled up with information, that's for sure, and some type of entertainment.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, that's again, as a challenge from an announcer standpoint, I think, wow, there's what you don't want is a lot of dead air because people only want to hear you so much. So you don't want to have to be tap dancing the whole time when there's no action going on. That's why football is great. There's only the clock starts 40 seconds. You don't have much time anyway. The next play is being baseball to me is very, very hard because there's so much dead time and downtime. This is even going to be less action as far as actual action than a baseball game. And I'm just saying, you know, once they hit their drives and they've got their 3-minute walk to get to their next shot, then they're going to look at it and they're going to get the yardage. You got 5, 6, 7 minutes to fill. What, I just don't know. That's all I'm saying. I mean, that's even go to commercials, I guess, if you have in-house something. I know it's direct, I mean, it's pay-per-view, but if you have some kind of, which they probably will for MGM or whatever they're going to do there. But still, it's just, it's a challenge is all I'm saying. I'm sure they've thought it all out. And
but
maybe they're going to have people in the booth with them or something like that to fill some time. But it's just a lot of time.
But they're not letting a lot of that information out whatsoever, including what's going on out there on site with us. So we don't know yet what's going to happen. We don't know. They may have, you know, some celebrities, other golfers or things out on the golf course doing commentary. I just don't know. I mean, they've kept it really close to the vest, whether it's on purpose or whether it's by accident. That they just weren't ready. They just said, let's do this, and then figured out, uh-oh. Kind of like when we started Golf Talk America, and we said, let's do this on PGAtour.com, and we said, uh-oh, do we need a studio? Do we need microphones?
Well, that's how we do everything on this show.
Pretty much. Much unlike Hank Haney Golf Radio and Steve Johnson on that show.
That's a professional show right there.
It is.
That's a pro show.
Well-produced.
It is.
Yeah, not a minute of dead air on that. By the way, Steve, I'm thinking Tony Romo is probably going to be somehow in Vegas as a part of this whole thing himself. I am curious. I'm kind of going off base here a little bit, but you know, he keeps playing in these different golf tournaments. Is there any former athlete, not golfer, a former athlete that you've known of, worked with, or that has any hope, any kind of game that could actually elevate them to a professional golfer level? Because there's so many that think they could do that.
John Brody.
Okay, I was thinking about that too. That was a Champions Tour.
Yeah, and that was forever ago when there was nobody else playing it. So I get it that he did do that. But let's say today's era. Is there anybody, Steve, that has the game at all? They think they do, but even if they're scratch at their local club, like Tony,
a lot of guys that think they do, Tim, but the problem is that they really don't realize how great these guys are. The guys that we see on TV every day, if you were to see them play, actually watch them play a round of golf at their club, they would be so far under par, it would be laughable. So these guys are just so good. I don't think we're going to see anybody that is a crossover. It's nice that Tony, because he does bring some... he does bring some notoriety to the game and some, you know, cachet to the game. And that, I tell you what, you got to admit, Tim, he has been a hell of an analyst for a guy that is just
awesome.
Starting out and, you know, to be in the on the number one team. And he can tell, We ought to start calling him the great predictor because he tells us what the play is before they even they hike the ball.
Yeah, just by the formations, he knows.
Well,
on the other hand, Jason Witten, he needs some help.
Yeah. Well,
he's not very good.
Monday night, boys, it's me against y'all. So
it is Titans and Cowboys.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be much of a fight. We're not.
Can we talk a little football?
Let's frame it with this: the Titans scored 2 touchdowns in the month of October.
Oh, that's intimidating.
That's it.
Well, here, I got one that's for you. I can top that. I bet you their coach didn't go to the World Series.
Yeah. He's probably going to Atlas Moving Van in front of his house.
you've got a guy with a losing season so far. He is on his head's on the chopping block. And he goes and he takes on a 2-week off. He goes to the World Series? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That's out of sight. That's crazy.
Even Jimmy Johnson went on record as saying, not a good visual. It's just to have that. He goes, whether or not you have the time off or you can do it, you're on a private jet and you're there and back home, but whatever it might have been. He said, it's just not a good visual that you're 3-4 and you look like you're taking a little time off and checking out baseball game is not a good visual for your players.
Jason Garrett is daring Jerry Jones to fire him.
Yeah, it would seem to me. I wouldn't disagree.
Jason, you know that house you've wanted in Daytona Beach? Well, you go ahead and move.
Yeah.
Because you're out of here.
Check it out now. I totally agree. And they're the Cowboys heading for another 8-8 season. And that's been Jason Garrett's pretty much career record is 500 every year. It waffles from one to the other, but it ends up being 500. And I don't know, with that little, to me, security on a franchise like the Cowboys, who fans around the world demands and haven't done anything, I wouldn't flirt with any of that stuff. And yet, you're exactly right, Steve. Thumbs his nose at Jerry saying, hey, look at me.
Do you know why he was at the World Series? You know why he didn't watch it on TV like you and I did, Tim? You know why?
No, I don't know why.
Because he wanted to watch it the right way. He wanted to do it the right way.
Oh, sorry. Frank, that's a reference to for those Cowboy fans that are out there, that's a reference to him repeating the same tired lines at every news conference he does, and everything they do whenever football. They lose a game, they do it the right way. Everything we do.
What does
right
that
way.
Mean? It's that they're playing the game the right way.
The right way is called winning.
The right, yeah. It's a W. It's a W.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. That that's the other part, Frank. I mean, you talk about wearing somebody out. That guy, when it comes to news conferences, Jason Garrett, it's almost like he's daring somebody to fire him just because he has the worst news conferences you've ever heard in your life. He doesn't give you anything.
No, you haven't listened to Vrabel. No, you haven't listened to the Titans coach. It's bad too. Trust me.
Yeah. Well,
but you know what? Troy Aikman, when he was a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, Tim.
Yeah.
He gave terrible interviews. He said a bunch of nothing. But when he became an analyst, man, did his game turn around?
That's David Duvall. Remember his post round interviews were absolutely terrible. It was terrible.
He's still off.
Oh, I like David. I think he's good. I like David.
Hey, Steve. By the way, we're joined by Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf. You've got classes you're teaching, like tomorrow, whatever, coming up. You have any? I haven't talked to you about this in a while. Do you have any young guys, young girls that you see? Maybe can you tell when they're coming to you at 12 and 14 years old that they may be professionals? I know that's a goal for a lot of them. Can you tell at that young age, or do you not even worry about it?
No, you know what? You can see some similarities. Like, there are some junior players that I have that I see some of what Tiger Woods is, the way he reacts to certain things. These kids have it. And we talked about it on the show not too long ago. It is something that is the kids are born with, and also it is nurtured by their parents. I mean, if a parent out there wanted to develop a top athlete, all he'd have to do is look at Earl Woods and copy the things that Earl Woods did. And kids are getting a lot more focused now than, we hear the conversation, play all the sports. You need to play all the sports. You know what? The kids that are dominating right now that have a best chance of dominating at the next level are the kids that have narrowed down what they're doing. They've chosen their sport. They've dedicated themselves to that sport. And we don't see a lot of we see a lot of foreigners doing it a lot more than we do Americans, I'll tell you that.
Hey, Steve, give us a couple of for instance regarding Tiger Woods. I mean, you were around him for the big years, the great years. What did Earl do, for instance, a couple of things?
Well, the first thing he did was he had a definite plan on schedules for Tiger. Tiger would play at a level until he could compete to dominate at that level. Then they would think about going to the next level. A lot of the kids and their parents, contemporaries these days, they want to get to that top level so quickly they bypass the necessary levels of competing to win. I see like a person like Michelle Wee, who was almost forced into professional golf at way too young. She hadn't even experienced. She'd won two tournaments before she turned pro. Now, the money was so high, Frank, that's one of the reasons that she turned pro. But she hadn't experienced winning it. You don't have to necessarily experience winning at the highest level. You just got to experience winning at some level. If you experience it at some level, you can take it to the next level because there's a definite skill at winning. There's some guys that get to that. They go through the paces. Like, for example, Ricky Fowler, one as a junior, one in college, one as an amateur. He's won four times on the PGA Tour. Maybe something's changed. Maybe his motivation's changed. Maybe, his focus has changed. But he has won at every level. He's just not able to – you got to say that he is, for the most part right now, you would have to consider him an underachiever.
Yeah, he's won but not dominated at this level.
No,
yeah.
He's won four times in 10 years.
And what you're saying about Earl and Tiger, Steve, is Earl focused Tiger on golf almost like from the beginning. And I'm sure Tiger could have been a really good baseball player and maybe played some youth soccer, did whatever. But at a very young age, he said golf's the game, and that's what they focused on. And I know you work with a lot of kids from all over the world, especially China and different parts of Asia, where they almost have that same attitude, don't they? Very, very focused on whether it's gymnastics, volleyball, golf, whatever it might be. They, in those countries, pick that kid for their sport they're going to be, whether it's the parents or, in some cases, the sports entities. And they say, this is what that kid's going to do. And that's the next 20 years of that kid's life is that sport, right?
Yes. Yes. And they have, not only do they have an individual dream, but they have a collective dream. They're doing this for their country. We need to watch out for the Chinese athletes, guys. There's, 2 billion Chinese out there of all different shapes and sizes. They are going to dominate. They're going full gangbusters at hockey right now. Wait in the next 10 years. Yep. Ice hockey will have a lot of Chinese ice hockey players. You just watch.
Well, you talked about this on you and Hank talked about this on your show, I believe, several weeks ago about playing for your country. You know, I'm not going to go out and win one for Mississippi. You know, we're the United States of America, but on the PGA Tour, they're not playing for their college or their state or the United States. They're playing for themselves.
Right.
And that right. I think that in the mindset, the psyche, that there's a big difference there. And I'm playing for China. I'm playing for Korea. I'm playing for Japan on the PGA Tour. We need a Dr. Bob or Dr. Gio or somebody on to talk about that with us. But to me, that psychologically is a big – that's a big difference.
Well, the girl who won the U.S. Open, right, and beat Serena, the Japanese girl whose name escapes me right now, after all that controversy – it was a huge deal in Japan. Remember the next day?
Well, that was the first,
in Japan. She was back in Japan because they wanted to honor her for what she did for the country, even though it's an individual sport. It's tennis. And so it's very, very interesting to see how that all played out. But you're right. That's exactly what happens is the country is going to honor her. And when she won, again, I think born in this country or whatever, but still had Japanese ancestry, they could not wait that country to celebrate her and how great it meant to what it meant to the country of Japan.
You know, we talk about the nationalistic, you know, the goal to be, you know, do something for your country. We do that here in the United States, too, on an individual basis. It's us against them. It's us against the world. And Earl Woods instilled that into Tiger. It is us against everybody else.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so you can rally the troops in a number of different ways. I just happen to see it nationalistically in these foreign players. And the U.S. players do it the same way, that at least the top players. Hey, it's me against everybody else. Yeah, you know, the Williams sisters, the same way. It's them against everybody else. And you almost have to be that way. One other thing, Frank, that the champions do, and Tiger did it the best, is they have a way to look at things that insulates their ego. They deflect a lot of reality into some type of their own altered reality to keep their confidence up. Jordan Spieth is doing that right now with his putting. And in the condition of his game, now he had a great round here at the Shriners the first round. We'll just wait and see how he does. Yeah. This has been a long time since he's played at this time of year.
Yeah, it has. He's ranked third in strokes in the field in strokes gained putting at 2.926, ranked 136th in that category on tour in 2017-2018. So,
but to your point, Steve, he couldn't say, Jordan Spieth, hey, guys, I'm suffering through some yips here, and I've got to work on that. Instead, he says, when people ask about missing a cut or how he's playing, he's close. He's always really close, isn't he? Just working on it. I'm almost there. And you're like, but you putted 49 times yesterday in a round.
Well,
that's not close to being good. And yet they have to still have some sense of, I'm not that far off.
Well, is it the statement, confidence breeds competence, sort of relevant there?
Yeah, I'm sure that there's a lot of fact to that. And there's a lot of relevance to that. It's not reality, but it's a way to protect themselves. Now, that only goes so far. If Jordan doesn't have some success here in the first part of the year, and he languishes and still his putting is still struggling, he's going to have to dig deep. He will have to dig deep, and then he'll have to deal with it.
When you say dig deep, his instructor, which we all know well, is very traditional. And how he and when you say dig deep, are you insinuating maybe that if he doesn't improve, he needs to look at a different methodology of putting?
Not necessarily. I'm sure. I mean, I really think the world of Cameron McCormick.
Oh yeah, great guy.
He's one of the. I mean, we think of him as a young teacher. He's not really all that young, but he is a very, very good teacher. You just look at his students, and he's got LPGA players, he has college players, he has junior players, he has Jordan Spieth and some pro players on the PGA Tour. I mean, he gets results. When I looked at Jordan Spieth's technique, his full swing and his putting and all that, I thought, wow, Cameron McCormick is really innovative. He does whatever it takes to get the results. Well, then I found out that he's very much a traditional type of teacher. That a lot of the stuff that Jordan does with his putting is things that he came up with on his own. They weren't necessarily endorsed by Cameron McCormick, other than the fact that the ball was going in the hole at a tremendous frequency. But I think if they need to, they'll bring somebody in to consult, but the voice will be Cameron's voice. Cameron's voice is a very strong voice in Jordan's mind. And so he doesn't want a bunch of guys on his team. I think he wants one guy leading the driving the bus. That'll be Cameron McCormick. And I still think that they're going to get this thing fixed. They wasted last year. Last year was a wasted year as far as most people are concerned for Jordan Spieth. He's got to get it turned around. He's a very special player. And you look at his year last year, and saying, man, the guy made $3.5 million, and you know, he's
Ryder Cup
13th player in the world. Actually, he's in a free fall right now. He will probably be close to number 20 by the next six weeks, unless he has some really good finishes, because he's dropping out. A win at the Australian Open is the next tournament he's dropping out, and he won at Pebble Beach. He's dropping that out as well in early February. So,
and that's a subject for a whole nother show. Is how that's calculated to me. I don't agree.
He's in a free fall right now. So, 13th in the world is pretty darn good.
But it's all relative to where he's been, what he's done. Just like Tiger and all the other guys that are in that elite category. That 13th. I'm sure is disappointing, and to his sponsors, to him, to everybody else. But we'll see. Again, it's all about. You know, he's young enough, way young enough, that he can use plenty of time to turn things around. But that, in essence, I think shows golf being as difficult as what you talk about all the time, Steve. It's a hard game, whether you're Tony Romo or somebody else who has visions of playing professionally or just playing competitively against your buddies, or me in the ultra-competitive Omega Open. about to take place in East Texas. It'll get in my head here.
At that new golf course called Yipper's Paradise, right?
And I can throw those short little chip shots, and I'll just be kicking that ball on the green.
Well, what is the strategy for the chipping?
Scramble.
The strategy, Steve, is what it's always been, which is
close your eyes,
avoid at all costs.
To be in total denial that the rules of golf relate to me.
You can't putt across a bunker, Tim. So
I do the, you know, hey guy, what's that over there? And they look, and next thing you know, I'm on the green, and they're like, weren't you chipping? No, I don't know what you're talking about. That's my ball's been there the whole time.
So the Integrity Open is not this week.
No. Yeah, I don't know that word. I'm just I don't know, Steve. I played the last time I played, my chipping was actually okay, which is about as good as it gets. So as long as I can survive and get some up and down and not have any issues,
what?
I'm okay. So okay. We'll see.
We've got one of the top teachers in the world on with us right now. What is the deal? I'll tell you how I chip. I don't chip like Steve Stricker, but I utilize his methodology. I'm not risky at all when I'm chipping around the green whatsoever. Everything's just like, you know, that inverted pyramid, and it stays the same throughout the shot. Is that something that'll help our listeners, Steve?
Well, it may. It may. Tim, that's plan B right there, Tim.
Yep. I've tried that.
Chipping yips are the toughest to fix. You've got to play around them, just like the putting yips.
Yeah.
In the full swing yips, you've got to play around it. So, you know, you either got to get it on the green, or you got to lay up 100 yards short, Tim.
What are the full swing yips, Steve?
Full swing yips are guys that have this two-way miss. The two-way miss, Frank, is a snap hook
to
the left for right hand, and then a big push to the right. David Duvall has had it. Ian Baker Finch has had it. Bill Kratzert has had it. Who else?
Hank Haney.
Seve Ballesteros has had it. Hank Haney has had it. He's overcome it. He's playing as good now as he's ever played.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players that have it.
So it's fear of fairway.
Well, I mean, you don't know when you don't know which barrel the bullet's going to come out of that gun. Is it going to come dead left or dead right? You don't know where to aim.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to aim.
I've been there.
There's another player that has that left and right miss too. Tiger Woods.
Woods. Sure. Yeah.
Well, I guess Phil does too, doesn't he?
He does, but his bad one is mostly to the left.
Yeah.
Yeah, fade.
Mostly to the left. They keep playing that shot he hit at Wingfoot off the 18th tee. Man, that was bad.
That was brutal.
That was bad. It hit the tent.
Off the roof of the tent. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he still had a chance, but he tried to pull off a miracle. Yeah, no. But that's Phil, right? We're all going to love Phil. We're going to hate it when he's gone because he's always been that aggressive, gambling, go for broke kind of guy, which as a viewer, as a fan, you love that guy, right? I don't want to see a guy pitching out, and it goes back to Tin Cup and everything. You know, the pros laying up. Yep. Nobody wants to see that, right?
Nobody wants to see if somebody bunt.
You know, I mean, Phil's shot at Augusta, they'll show forever, right? Between the trees on 13.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
Off the needles. And
When Bones was just screaming at him not to try it, Don't do this. Don't do this.
Tim, we need full disclosure after your round, Tim.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I will confess. Yeah. On Monday's show, I will give full and honest evaluation of how the round
full
went.
And
these are
honest.
Really nice golf courses that I'm playing at. They're kind of more like where you're at, Frank, you know, with tall pine trees, and you feel like East Texas, you feel like you're in Georgia or Mississippi or Louisiana or whatever, because it's a very different look than what we're used to here in Dallas. And certainly if you went a couple hours the other way west, then it's cactus and brush and tumbleweed, you know, so it's just a really different kind of, but we're all looking forward to it. And I'm trying. Yeah. Why did you even get talking about my chipping? I was trying to just avoid it.
Forget it. Yeah. Hey, Steve, what do you and Hank have on the agenda? What's coming up this week on y'all shows?
Well, I'm not on today. We've been talking a lot about, I'm sure he's going to talk about Tiger Woods and his schedule. Slow play has come up again. There was an article on slow play. Lee Westwood came out and said he had some suggestions for the Ryder Cup captains.
Man up.
He told us to man up, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Imagine Lee saying that. I can't imagine.
But I'm going to be in golf schools today, one-on-one, Hank Haney one-on-one golf schools. I tell you what, your listeners need to sign up. Go to HankHaney.com, and we customize. We fix the big miss. And also, send in a video, golfschools@HankHaney.com, a down-the-line video. And within 24 hours, we're going to send it back to your listeners with the start of a game plan.
I'm sending mine, but I want Steve Johnson to critique mine.
Okay, I will. I will.
Yeah, you will.
And just don't be cruel.
Okay, no, I won't. For everyone, we try to just to give them something to get them started, see a little success. The best short-term results are achieved by the best long-term game plans. Remember that.
That's well said. That's very, very true.
Words to say goodbye on there, Steve. Perfect. Yep.
Okay. All right, guys.
Steve Johnson, Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody. We're out of here, I guess. Are we staying on, Tim? Are we going to go more?
Yeah, Steve, you can go.
Okay. Bye, Steve.
Okay. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks, pal. See you. I hope I still have you when Steve goes away. Our astute producer might pull this off. Yeah.
And I'm going next, so. Yeah, we thank Steve. That was great for him to join us. And I'm telling you, you need to send a video to him.
He's a heck of a teacher, man.
He will send it back.
People don't realize he was beside. I'm sorry to step on you like that. He was beside Hank through all the Tiger years. They were right there together.
Sure.
And so he's one hell of a great instructor.
Yeah.
He's a good
dude. Meticulous. And I mean, he's that guy that doesn't just kind of wing it and go, we'll try a little of this. No, I'll try a little of this. Steve he'll write notes. That's why I'm saying send him videos, because he will give you quite a bit of information. He's not going to just say, hey, move your left finger a little bit lower. You know, like, okay, there you go. That'll fit. You know, no, he'll go through a lot of detail in your swing and what he can see, because he's seen 8 million golf swings, and he can give you, and he will, he'll give you the detail. That's what's great about Steve, is he's all about total focus and a whole plan that you can get together. So if you're struggling at all, Steve's the guy for you to send a video to them, and he'll break it down for you and give you, and send him some more, and just keep interacting with Steve, and he'll be happy to help you. And it won't cost you anything, Frank. I whisper that. Nothing won't cost you anything.
Do what? Doesn't cost anything?
You can't beat that, can you?
Can I go out to the ranch? Will it cost me?
That's going
to
cost you.
Well, it maybe not.
But if you send in a video, it won't cost you, I'm saying. You know, so, yeah, send it in and have them break it down.
Yeah, I'm going to come out there. Nah, I'm coming to Dallas. We've got to spend some time together anyway, and I want to go out to the ranch and hit balls. And I want them to line up the 100 balls on tees for me to hit. Remember that, when the Hank Haney project, when they used to line up 100 balls on tees? Did Hank have Steve out there putting each one of those in?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
He might have. Yeah.
I don't think so. So let's get to this real quick before we go. I know you're going to have to get out of here. Okay, Titans, Cowboys.
Yes.
We're going to bet the line, okay?
Which is what?
Well, I don't know. I don't even know. I don't want to look at it, but let's bet the line, and we'll pick a number.
Okay. I say the Cowboys are going to win by a touchdown.
Oh, you say the Cowboys are going to win? Oh, we're going to do it that way. Okay, Cowboys win by a touchdown. I was picking a number, went the value of the bet.
The value of the bet. Next time we see each other, let's bet $20.
$20, you got it. $20. We'll put Steve in for $20 also.
And we won't tell him what the bet is until we see him.
No, absolutely.
Oh, Steve, you lost.
Too bad. Hey, look, just if I win, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell Steve we bet $100. So he pays me $100, I'll split it with you.
Oh, look at you. You're working it.
If you work, if you do that with insurance, it's called insurance fraud.
It's like you're the CEO of a publicly held company.
You bet.
Let's just commit fraud. Nobody will know.
Used to be the CEO of.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not fraud. That is not fraud. That's business acumen.
All right, Frankie, I gotta run. So.
All right, pal. We'll get out of here, and I'll close this thing out.
Everybody, say everything. Okay.
We you want to say bye to everybody? Show. Let's do it. Let's just get out of here. Let's get out of here. Okay. They're tired of hearing us. So thank you, everybody.
Steve Johnson, you got some music you can play and everything.
There you go. There you go.
Steve Johnson was awesome. So thank you, Steve Johnson, with Hank Haney Golf for being with us. And I will give an update. I know everybody's breathlessly awaiting my update on what happens over the week to my rounds of golf. But we'll talk about it on the next week's show. And we'll talk about how Spieth does. We saw first round. We'll see how he finishes up after four rounds, if he can compete him at the Shriner. So much to talk about. Look forward to. And we'll join everybody. So for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. And we'll see you next week right here on Golf Talk America.